Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, and welcome to the official Broadwasted Podcast, where we're drunk on theater. Who am I? I'm your host, Brian Plofsky, and come to me, little people and lovely ladies, so we can avoid confrontation, because at the end of the day, I want you to drink with me under a little fall of rain, and we'll bring him home one day more.
That was very nice.
Thank you. Yeah. Look down. On my own? Nope.
Look down. On my own?
There are no empty chairs and empty tables here, because joining us today are the usual stars, including...
Oh, big one.
Kevin, do you hear that, Jager?
Do you hear the people singing? Yeah, I got it. I like that.
Kimberly, our game master of the house.
Oh, yep.
I finally got a pie.
I know, I knew you'd be excited.
It was really happy.
An unofficial babysitter for the hour.
Yeah, CPR certification has lapsed.
Unofficial. And with us today is a lost boy in NBC's Peter Pan Live, and made his Broadway debut as Marius in the most recent revival production of Les Mis. Let's give a big, broad-waisted welcome to friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Chris McCarroll.
Chris McCarroll. Welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Of course.
I've never done a podcast before, so this is new territory, but I've talked before and drank at the same time.
Ah, great.
Now they're microphones.
Yeah, now they're microphones.
To catch everything.
You can follow Chris on Instagram and Twitter at ChrisMZCarroll. That's two R's and two L's in Carroll.
Do you get it? It sounds like Christmas Carol, so you can't make fun of me because I'm making fun of myself.
I didn't get that at first.
You didn't get it?
Are they just like Christmas Carol?
I think it's the ultimate Twitter pun.
That actually is really great.
That's pretty good.
Well done, sir. Cheers to that. Cheers to that one.
Cheers.
Cheers to Twitter handle puns.
Cheers to paper cups not making any noise.
Classy up in this house.
Yeah, right.
Paper cups. Snap.
Yeah. Delicious. We're clinking or not clinking? What are you drinking? What are you drinking?
That was nice. That was your rhyming.
Oh.
I liked that.
Nice, man.
I'm drinking a margarita of sorts. It's tequila with pineapple, V8 pineapple passion, and some triple sec. So it's
not
my...
That's weird.
That is so foul. Is that tomato puree in here?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I was trying to find pineapple
there
juice.
Are sweet and... potatoes, yellow carrots,
I'm thinking
carrot,
about my health.
Margarita.
Thinking about my health.
There are four sweet potatoes in that bottle.
There are four sweet potatoes.
That's gross.
Oh my god.
I'm drinking it.
It's like
a
potion.
I'm sure it hides your veggies.
Yeah. It's fine. We're good.
On that note, I also have that in my drink. But mine's tequila, lime juice, and that pineapple passion.
That works.
Okay. Yeah. So this side of the table can make fun of both of
it. It's like tropical Bloody Mary.
Yeah, kind of.
Tropical Bloody Marias.
Irish.
Bloody Marias.
Potato famine.
It's definitely about the potato famine.
I have my favorite Tanqueray with some tonic and a splash of whatever lime juice was on sale.
It's the finest call lime juice.
Oh,
it's premium.
Finest.
Premium.
Sweetened.
From concentrate.
Sweet and sour.
Where's concentrate?
No.
I've never heard that.
I actually haven't heard that. That was a good one.
And what are you drinking, Chris?
I'm drinking Tanqueray?
Tanqueray.
Ooh, and he's cut off.
And, yeah. And some tonic water from Duane Reade.
Ooh.
Very fancy.
Yeah.
Because we're in New York.
Anywhere else would be from Walgreens.
I almost by mistake bought diet tonic water, but I thought it's just water, so does it matter?
There are like a random, I don't know why I know this, but there's a ton of calories in tonic water.
Yeah, so my mom drinks only diet tonic water. And one time, by accident, I thought I was just drinking seltzer. I bought tonic water from Duane Reade because it looks just like the lemon seltzer.
Oh. Yeah.
And I was on my couch just drinking it like this. Seltzer's a little weird.
They need to rebrand.
It's tonic water.
It's terrible.
So then I just...
I think it glows in black lights.
It does.
Wait, for really?
Yeah. If it has the chlorine or whatever the hell.
Yep, quinine.
I can't even read it.
Quinine.
Contains quinine.
Whatever.
Tank
water is even for. It contains blacklight stuff.
So we're going to do something a little different today.
Oh,
we are. Switching it up.
Yeah, instead of what have you seen this week, what are you most excited for in 2017?
Dear Evan Hansen.
Yes.
Easy answer.
You jumped on that right away. That was good.
Yeah. I'm such a Ben Platt fan.
Yeah.
I'm excited for Dear Evan Hansen.
Right.
And I feel like there's something else I can't think of right now.
The limit is Bandstand.
Oh, Bandstand?
I'm so excited for that, too.
That's true.
That's a good
cast. And now that they dropped the, I think it's really going to be.
Oh. It's they got rid of the Bandstand. Bandstand.
I'm excited for, like, 7 shows opening 10 days before the Tonys are
done. Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and say that I'm excited for Miss Saigon. I'm just excited because I've heard the album that the cast album they just put out from
London.
The London production where they did a lot of rewrites, and I'm wary because whenever a show does rewrites when it's been that established and then moves forward, it's usually kind of like jaunty a little bit. Like Bear had some issues going from Bear the pop opera to Bear the musical, so I was nervous, and I'm not sure how I feel about some of the changes that they made to the Miss Saigon thing, but I'm not gonna make any judgments until I actually see it and I'm in the theater to experience it. So I'm excited to see it. I love that show, so I want to see what they've done to modernize it for the new age.
Very cool. My mom saw the Fathom event
in
theaters and loved it.
I just remember that B-roll footage. They have like a little like reel that was on Facebook when it opened in London. And I was like, oh my god. And it's our same director. It's the same director
as Les Mis.
As Les Mis, Lawrence. And he's like so good at like
big picture
just
vision
roughing
stuff.
Up
these
like little golden classics. He just like rips into them.
And there's also like those musicals that started in the 80s as mega musicals.
Mm-hmm.
This is a flash forward to the quiz we're
going to
have later.
Oh! Yes!
Foreshadowing! Which means I've been researching mega musicals all day, because that's the theme. But, it's interesting to think about, but, like, these musicals that were, like, the mega musicals in the 80s, and were, like, the technical show with all of this stuff, to now in 2016, that has so many more technological capabilities to see what they can do with it. I just want to see a helicopter land on stage. I don't know.
Do you mind answering a few questions for us and the listeners?
Yes.
You mind? Okay. And that's it for today.
I have all the dirt.
What's your favorite musical?
Oh, these kind of questions. my favorite musical is... really, like, have favorites. I appreciate different qualities of different ones. But, like, overall...
Oh, pick up
I know, that's so bad. I think Ragtime is, like, literally invincible. Like,
okay.
I don't... Like, you could throw... And if the cast can sing it, and it makes a little sense, it's a brilliant show.
Yeah.
So, I think that show is just invincible
Ragtime
if you
good.
Do it right.
Agreed.
Yeah.
What was your favorite experience seeing a show? Or, like... What show made you want to do this? I guess those are two different questions.
I remember Light in the Piazza tour came through Cleveland,
mm-hmm.
and my friend had an extra ticket, and I was like a theater guy back then. But
are you from Cleveland?
Yeah.
Go try.
I hear it rocks.
Sorry, but...
Yeah, it is rock. It is rocking. Yeah. I was never a sports
University
fan.
Heights, what?
Yes. But it has, like, this crazy, like, arts culture. Light and Piazza. It came through.
Yeah.
And I'm just a stickler for, like, give me, like, gorge, lyrical, like, this gorgeous piece of theater, but then, like, it up somehow. And I just loved how, like, there's this, like, weird... upness about Light in the Piazza. I think it's so gorgeous. It's so gorgeous, but then it's like so human because they're just all like a little messed with. I love it.
A pony kicked her.
Yeah. And I was
when that show is done well, it is
dying.
Impeccable.
I was dying.
I feel like that show can be on the line where if it's done wrong, it's a laughing stock, and if it's done right, it's the most gorgeous thing you've ever seen.
It
was
so right.
One of the prettiest things I've ever seen.
It can be really beautiful.
And Lincoln Center was the perfect space for it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see... What was your first Broadway show?
Wicked.
Awesome.
That's a good one.
Who was your Glinda?
I came in right when that first cast came over. So Shoshana.
Hmm. Was it Megan Hilty then?
I think so.
Or...
That sounds
Jenna.
Right.
Oh, what was her name?
Oh,
right after.
Too.
Megan Hilty.
It might have already been Megan Hilty.
I think Megan Hilty took her pretty quick.
Jenna, I want to say Jenna Lee Green, but she was
not. No, she was. And then
the funny thing is, our listeners are going to know exactly who.
They all know exactly.
Correct.
They know more.
Who is your Glinda? And
I have a few.
Who's your first?
Kristen Chenoweth.
Oh, you saw original cast.
I did.
Yeah, me too.
I
grew up in New Jersey.
So did I. Like, my sister saw it like 4 or 5 times, and I went almost every time with her because like it was
so
kind of great.
You also saw it 4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
Wicked was the first show that I bought a full price ticket to. I came here on an audition when I was working at the Surflight Theater. Uh-huh. And I went to the audition and it was whatever. And then afterward I was like, I'm gonna go see a Broadway show. And I just bought a full price ticket to Wicked, and I was wearing a green sweater and I thought I was like fly as hell. And then the guy sitting next to me had the exact same sweater, and his wife thought it was funny, so she made us take pictures.
Oh, God.
And then she called me sweater friend the whole show.
No.
So that was like an experience. But I saw Nicole Parker playing Elphaba. Okay. She was the one from Mad TV or whatever.
Yeah.
She really nice voice. Oh. She did everything like exactly as written. Like, I know, like, Christine Dwyer riffs or anything, like, screlting your face off or anything like that. Like, but she did it, like, just as written, and it was really nice.
Cool. So, Chris, what was your
I don't know why Christine Dwyer is really on me.
If you can see his face, he's losing it right now.
Have you heard when she does Elphaba? She, like, just makes up songs. She just, I mean, it's beautiful, but she riffs, like, she just options up every second. She's just like, oh, that can be an A? I'll make it an A. Oh, I can make it a B? Okay, I'll make it a B.
When I first moved to New York, I lived with 2 theater majors, and I would fall asleep to Defying Gravity riff compilations every night.
And Christine Dwyer owns those. They're always like, and then.
So I was like auditioning during the day, and literally like that was my blah blah blah.
Though I did just recently listen to Carmen Cusack's Defying Gravity.
Hers is really good.
I had never heard it before.
National Treasure.
Carmen Cusack.
Just talked about this.
Well played, sir.
What's your favorite spot in New York City?
I really like Cafe Lalo on the Upper West Side. It's
You've Got Mail.
Yes, You've Got Mail, and it's open till like 3 a.m. And sometimes if I'm depressed and can't fall asleep, I just scoot to Cafe Lalo.
And you get some delicious desserts.
Yeah, and I get like a hot cocoa.
And then you go home and listen to belting Elphabas.
Yeah, no, not anymore. I moved.
Tell us about the first time you went on as Marius.
First time I went on as Marius.
Yeah, like how long was it after?
I got through previews, thank God, because I literally wasn't rehearsed. Like, I would have just been singing. I knew the songs, but that was it. Anyway, got through previews, didn't have to go on, no scares. Then, probably like 2 months after we opened. A month? 2 months. 2 months after we opened. I wake up at, like, noon, so there's always, like, 5 or 6 texts of, like, just people saying random crap. So I was just going through my texts, and in the middle was just a text message from my stage manager, Marius for matinee. That was it. Not, like, a voicemail.
Hashtag Marius.
Not, like, a knock on the door, like, just Marius for matinee.
Snail mail,
buried
like
in my
anything.
Text. Like anything. Like a like I thought like a fire alarm should go off. It was the most like casual way to like.
Oh, you're gonna be a star on Broadway. Have fun.
Yeah, I feel like just there should be like I'm alarm fine. Button.
Yeah.
You should have a red phone in your apartment.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You really feel like you need one for that like first time. So like to read it.
Excuse me, the Kremlin is calling.
Yeah. It felt like so casual
the palace
for such a huge thing. So I remember I like couldn't. I was like, oh shoot. So I just make my coffee because I can't like think without coffee. So I make coffee. I'm chugging it, burning my mouth on it. I have to call my mom for some reason. I'm like, I can't concentrate until my mother knows.
So she's like, still in Cleveland.
Yeah, she's still in Cleveland. I'm like, Mom, I'm going on. What do you mean? I'm like, I'm going on for Marius. I just got a text message. And she's like, you show him, honey. You got this. You got this. I remember that. She, like, pep talked me. I'm like, I do got this. And then I ran to the theater and, like, our team is, like, so brilliant with understudies. So, like, I had a stage manager there. And he's like, come on, let's go through it. So, like, we went through the entire show and I, like, realized, like, I know all this. Like, let's go. I'm spilling alcohol on me.
Yeah.
And then I went on. And that cast, like, It's so brilliant to, like, see both sides of it, to be an understudy and then to actually be the part. Because, like, the rest of that cast knows the show so well that when you have someone come in and they don't know it, like, you can get them through anything. Like, that's what I would tell understudies that would go on for me. I'm like, I know my part and your part so well, you could literally...
fall asleep.
Like, I could mouth all your lyrics to you. Like, there's no way you could mess up.
Right.
Like, literally, if you go up on lyrics, I'll start singing your part. Like, mm-hmm. It's so crazy how well everyone knows what's going on. So I went on, and, like, people were pushing me into place, and, like, I was... because the leads are also in the ensemble in the beginning of the show. They use, like, everyone. So I was, like, the random, like, guy, like, rowing the boat and, like, under my breath. I was like, there's a group that can't be spoken. There's mangoes on the
boat. But you can't mess up that song.
Right. I was, like, running every song while I was, like, a looking villager. Yeah. I should have been looking down. But I was like, you are... And it went fine. That was what was so weird. I was like, how did I just do that? Like, that shouldn't have worked out that well.
Broadway.
Broadway.
I love seeing understudies.
Me too.
I do too, actually. I've seen quite a few understudies who really surprised me and made the show just as wonderful.
I saw Norbert Leo Butz's understudy for Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, and it was a fantastic show.
Yeah. I saw Benanti's understudy, the wedding singer.
Oh, really?
She was awesome.
I bet.
I saw Brian D'Arcy James' understudy when I saw Something Rotten, and he was wonderful.
I feel like every understudy I've seen lately I've known. Like, randomly. I think I'm just, like,
You're in.
But just, like, naturally, I don't know why.
You know you're in when you know every understudy.
No, I think it's, like, the age group.
Yeah.
It's like the 25-year-olds are just understudies of Broadway.
But then soon that pyramid will move its way up.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's really weird. Like, I'm trying to think of all the understudies I've seen lately, and it's like that's the reason I went to the show, to see my friend go on.
Hey, why don't we play a game?
Yeah. Yay!
Game master of the house.
Game master Kimberly.
Hello.
In a world.
You can see my confusion.
I'm overwhelmed.
Let's do the quiz first.
Do you guys know how uncultured I am with, like, Broadway?
We'll see after this quiz.
Not all of these
we can do
are
it, Kimberly.
Essentially like the quiz.
What?
Not all of the answers are Broadway related. They're all about a show, but they're not all necessarily.
Mega musicals. I know mega musicals.
So it's about mega musicals. Everyone
guys,
is familiar with
guys, we're all in this together.
We're all in this together.
The world stars and we see it.
The mega musical quiz.
Yay!
How quizzes work.
Oh, mega. I thought I was thinking mega mix. That's why I brought a musical.
Oh, no.
That was
mega musical.
It's on your feet quiz.
I would love that.
I know.
Mega.
Come
mega
on, baby,
musicals.
Do the blank.
Okay, mega musical.
So
like
you
the,
need a definition
no,
of
maybe
mega
I got
musical?
It.
No.
Okay.
Where is the line, though?
It's like the 80s.
Oh,
mega
really?
Musicals?
It has a date attached?
Yeah, like the British imports and the...
It's all the British imports in the 80s are basically considered mega musicals.
Phantom, Les Mis,
Pentagon,
Cats.
You're a mega musical.
Because they were all the first musicals that were like over $1 million in capitalization.
And they were all going to Cameron McIntosh's
and
pocket.
All Cameron I think these are all Cameron
they
McIntosh.
They are.
That's what happened in the quiz.
Man's brilliant.
Let's do it.
Okay, so how the game works...
How the game works.
We have two rounds.
Okay.
Everyone gets a question. It is multiple choice.
Multiple choice.
And then there is a tiebreaker.
Tiebreaker.
Who would like to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay, Brian.
I'll take the pressure.
Since 1987...
I don't know.
No kidding.
Since 1987, Broadway has not been without a production of Les Mis for more than how many years? 6 years, 8 years, or 3 years?
I believe the longest
was from when it closed to when it reopened with, like, Daphne Rubin Vega and, like, that crew.
Yeah.
Sure. Was that Norm Lewis was in that one, as Javert, potentially?
He was.
I'm going to say that was, like... What were the three options?
6 years, 8 years, or 3 years?
It was six.
6 years is correct.
Woo!
Was it? I would have guessed that.
Wrong.
Was it 95 to 2001?
It was 2003 to 2006, so only 3 years. And then 6 years between 2006 and 2014.
Oh, interesting. So I got the wrong one.
I've seen every production.
Interesting.
Cool. Honestly, I got the answer. It doesn't mind if I show my math.
Negative for not showing your math.
All right.
My mom just texted me, do you need more books? I don't know.
At Gailey Cooper.
But I just saw it pop up on the quiz. Because it's on my phone. Okay. Kevin.
Yes.
When the first drawings were made in anticipation of the Phantom coming to the Majestic Theater, the plan was to open up a back wall of the stage area, upstage left, and to take over the loading dock of what theater? As extra prop storage space.
Oh, oh, that's so funny.
That adjustment was not made, and the stage space remained intact. The theater still has their loading dock. So what loading dock...
Were they in question of using?
Did the... producers of Phantom want to take over for prop storage.
Okay.
That's your question. Oh, right, I have answers.
You've hope later.
I was with you, I was like,
A, B, or C, let's go.
A, the Imperial Theater.
Okay.
B, the Jacobs. Or C, the Broadhurst.
It was the Broadhurst.
It was the Broadhurst.
Where is it now? It never moved, did it?
I said it really fast, so it acted like I knew it.
So the Majestic is right next to the Broadhurst, and they wanted to take the Broadhurst loading dock for prop storage.
But they didn't.
Rude. Rude.
Because it was a mega musical and had a lot of props.
Yeah. Rude.
It has a lot of props.
It's like that person in the subway that puts their bag on the second seat. Rude. Rude. Rude.
It's true.
Chris's turn.
Sorry,
I still never get over... the time I realized that they were mannequins in Phantom.
That was, that was a big realization. On Masquerade.
There are literally JCPenney mannequins in costume to make it look like they're actors.
Expensive ass costumes.
I haven't seen them since I was like 12.
I was like, are those mannequins? And they're like, yeah, it's like part. I'm like, oh. My, like, who was like, yeah, let's go for it. Like, I want 12 mannequins on the staircase.
Okay, your question.
Yes.
Hit me.
Finola Hughes.
Whoa.
Dumb.
What? The original Victoria, the white cat, in the West End production of Cats.
Cats.
Hosted what makeover television show from 2005 to 2008?
And she was
Did
a cat?
She was the original white cat, Victoria, in 1981.
This is not a real quiz.
Because I used to watch this TV show.
I just love that a character's name is White Cat.
Well,
the original White Cat.
Victoria. But she's the only one that's all white. She's the ballet cat.
Alright, sure.
Oh.
Sure.
She does that one. She does that big ponche.
Gotcha.
The right. Ponche. Yeah.
You sure. Was a poncho?
You had me a ponche.
Okay, did she host Extreme Makeover?
Ponche likes him.
How Do I Look, or What Not to Wear?
Definitely the only one I also have never heard of. How Do I Look?
She hosted How Do I Look.
Yay!
One around the table.
Clinton Kelly hosts What Not to Wear.
Yeah.
And Stacey London.
Yeah, and Stacey.
Oh, that's where you get confused, because her last name is London.
I hate you, Brian. Brian, your turn.
So did everyone get that first one
everyone
right?
Got
everyone got it right.
That's so exciting.
I think it was the first time ever. I don't
Brian.
Know. I'm just saying that's it.
I had SAT tutoring, so I approached these very strategically.
Brian.
Yeah.
Miss Saigon opens on Kim's first day at the bar/brothel in Saigon run by the engineer. What is the name of his establishment?
I've never seen it.
Is it the American Dream? Dream Machine or Dreamland?
It's Dreamland.
Is that just because Kevin's nodding his head?
Yep.
And he yells, welcome to Dreamland!
That is correct.
Nice.
Thanks, Kevin.
You're welcome. I'm 17 and I'm new here today, Brian.
What are the teams here?
All on your own.
I was just helping because I like that show a lot. I don't know.
Kevin.
Yes.
In Starlight Express.
Starlight Express.
I love it. Yes. I love that we're calling that a Meg musical. Yep.
It is.
Star on Wheels.
I thought someone was... It was freaking Gavin Lee was telling me about Starlight Express, and I thought he was messing with me.
Gavin Lee was incredible in SpongeBob, by the way.
That's
right.
A tapping Squidward. Like,
yeah, he had the best number in the whole show.
You know that in Germany, there is a theater specifically built to only produce shows of Starlight Express.
It was so ridiculous when I heard about it.
You're trying
to mess with like the young kid who doesn't know Starlight Express.
Years in London.
And it was, yeah.
Okay, so in Starlight Express,
a train musical? Oh, are you kidding me?
Roller skating train musical. Yeah.
In Starlight Express.
On there, yep. On board.
A child's train set magically comes to life.
Right.
And the various engines compete to become the fastest engine in the world.
That's a show.
The underdog, Rusty, the steam train, has little chance until he's inspired by the legend of the Starlight Express, winning both the race and the heart of the first-class coach,
Thank you for actually telling what that show's about.
Yeah.
No one knows.
Because everyone just knows Starlight Express.
First of all, spoiler alert.
Okay,
yeah.
So
here's the question. The story came to Lloyd Webber after he was denied the rights to Thomas the Tank Engine, and he used what common tale as an inspiration for these trains?
Okay.
Did he model this story after The Tortoise and the Hare, The Little Mermaid, or Cinderella?
The Tortoise and the Hare.
The Little Mermaid.
I know. It is actually a Cinderella tale.
Oh.
Oh, it was a Cinderella story.
Yep. He conceived the idea as a Cinderella story in which Rusty stands for Cinderella, Greaseball and Electra become the stepsisters, and the Starlight Express is the fairy godmother.
Yo, I love every second of your description of that.
I just mostly wanted to explain what Starlight Express was, because I never knew.
Broadway's a trip to Germany.
Cinderella.
To the Starlight Express Theater.
Dude, we should watch Xanadu on the way there.
Ooh.
Xanadu was good.
Okay.
I loved that on Broadway.
Okay, so Brian has...
Carrie Butler.
Two right.
Yeah,
Kevin has one right.
I have one right.
And Cheyenne Jackson.
And Chris has one right, but he's got his second question
That's
right
true.
Now.
Chris, your question is right now.
Hit me.
Okay. Let's see. In the original production of Miss Saigon, the propellers of the helicopter were made of what? Were they made of a series of wires, boat oars, or a special lighting effect?
Twist. I was expecting like a foam.
Or styrofoam Dunkin' Donuts.
I thought we were going there. Well, lighting back then barely existed.
1992.
Okay, so I can't lose this, and then the tiebreakers. Okay. I'm gonna go with... It has to be lighting, because there's no way to even make that spin. Wires? Seriously?
Yeah, there were wires with some sort of centrifugal...
Centrifugal
force.
You were super close to that word.
So it spun?
Thanks, Faith Hill. Anybody?
Yeah, like the wires spun in a way that looked like
centrifugal motion.
That's how I was trying to think about it.
It's perpetual bliss.
How did no one, get
decapitated? I don't know.
Cut off.
I didn't really look into it. I just took the website.
I should have known that. Lighting back then was... It couldn't move fast enough.
No, we tied.
Do you want to... No.
Did you get it wrong?
I got one.
You can use the tiebreaker for extra credit.
Yeah, let's do it. Okay.
Okay.
Here did you go. Win?
I won.
No, Brian won.
We're tiebreaking
no,
for everyone.
Well, Kevin gave me the answer to the second one.
I did.
So, like...
True.
Let's do
a tiebreaker.
We'll do a tiebreaker together.
You can join in as well.
Everyone can do a tiebreaker.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
What song from Cats was stuck in my head this morning?
Memory. Jellica Ball.
The rum-tum jig.
Jellica Ball.
Mr. Mistopheles.
Memory Part 2.
The,
Memory Part 3.
I'll give you the names of cats. Was it Skimble Shanks or Gus?
Gus.
Gus.
It was Gus!
The theater cat!
Unamas Game?
Yeah.
Yes.
I have another round.
Chevy, how long is that?
Wasted.
You guys really prep for this.
Mad Libs.
Oh my god.
So.
Am I allowed to look?
I'm going to do it. This is your game. Chris.
What does that mean?
Because people can't see it. I'm going to hand you the Mad Libs. I've actually not read it. I printed it out.
Perfect.
Oh my god.
I'm also going to hand you a pack of Lights of Broadway show cards that you may open. And you need to fill in the blanks with the people and shows in this pack of cards. If you need extras, I have extras. How many extras?
Wait, I'm so confused. Why is this, like, prepackaged like a moist towelette?
Have you ever seen these?
These are Broadway trading cards.
Look at moist towelette!
It doesn't look like something you might get at
these
like,
are
Lights
of Broadway show cards. Like, why do they need to be sterile? Are they moist?
No, they're like trading cards for Broadway.
I've never seen such a thing. So is that, like, are we about to battle?
So there, he is essentially...
Do you have, like, a holographic Charizard in there?
Boy, do I wish.
There's, like, probably a holographic Leslie Margarita in there.
That would be the one that would be holographic, for real.
Yes!
It would.
In the Autumn 2016 pack, I'm pretty sure there is a foil.
Okay, I...
Someone with foil. Okay, so you need help opening.
I feel like I'm tripping off, like, some weird drug.
So, there are five...
The drug's called Broadway.
Yeah. There's such thing as a Broadway trading card. Yes. I want to be on a
They're
Broadway.
All drawn by Squigs. Like to
I know him. Do they have, like, RBIs about, like, notes they've cracked on?
No, but
on?
They have, like... they do have...
Oh, my God.
Looks like you need...
Oh, my God.
Just give him a handful more.
Oh my god, I'm so excited about
it. Just read them in order.
So yeah, you're just gonna read these out loud.
Oh, I totally get what we're doing now.
10, 11, 12, 13, 14.
Oh, this is so fun.
3, 4, 5,
oh my god, I never knew these existed.
7. Okay, so I'm gonna give you this whole stack. And so just as it comes up that you need a card in this Mad Lib story,
yeah.
Take one from your pack.
Do I consciously pick them or, like, randomly pick
them? I think it's better random.
Speak into the mic and go for it.
I'm so overwhelmed by just this whole, like...
You got
system.
It?
System. Okay. Out of all the detective offices in all of the world, they had to walk into mine. Beautiful, sultry, sensual. Someone I knew I'd fall for but should probably stay away from. A total dime. I'm Renee Elise Goldsberry. They said as the strap of that skin-tight dress casually fell down their shoulder, teasing me. You've just got to help. That's all it took, and I was on the case. After all, I was Detective Cheetah Rivera. I had a reputation to uphold. And that skin-tight dress wasn't too bad on the eyes. Jesus Christ. Yeah. Turned out the dime had a famous sister, Kimberly. And she'd been kidnapped leaving the broad-waisted recording studio. The dime even had a hunch as to who had nabbed the sister. It had to be... Raul Esparza. I just know it. I choked on my coffee. But that's the most powerful crime boss in town. They run everything here, even things that aren't running. Why would they nab Kimberly? I'm scared the dime cooed, and I was done for. I started with interviewing Kimberly's co-hosts, Brian and Kevin. I quickly figured out they were too drunk or too stupid to pull this off, so I ruled them out. Then I started with their guest that night. Alan Cummings.
Yes, please.
But right after the show, they went to a strip club with Ted Spierling, who confirmed that that story was true. Where were you, Kimberly? Had you gotten in over your head? I couldn't just go after Raul Esparza directly in life, you know? So I went after their top two goons. I found Ann Harada at a seedy bar called Burl... Why can't I say his name? Burl... Bill Owens.
Yep.
Sweet Burl Jesus.
Owens.
Chugging along. I smacked him around a bit. But turned out they were telling the truth. No knowledge of Kimberly. So I went after the second goon. The muscles of the operation. Hamilton. Was not someone you wanted to run into in a dark alley. or a well-lit room, if you know what I mean. I got a busted lip, but I want what I wanted, a name, and got the name I expected. Son of Jonathan Larson, I laughed to myself. I should have known. I got back to the Broadwaster recording studio and saw him, sitting with a dime at the microphone, putting on the headphones. Where's Kimberly? Brian! Sold out your co-host for a dime. It was never about Raul Esparza. You just told me that story to throw me off that trail and hopefully get me killed. Brian smiled. Guess I'm not so dumb or so drunk. No, you're drunk. Okay, I'm drunk, but you don't know it all. I heard the click of a gun being cocked as I felt the cold steel against my back. A chill ran through my body as I felt the presence and knew who it was immediately. Molly, are you okay? She laughed. It's Kimberly now. I'm taking over as unofficial babysitter. No one can stop me. Not you, not even John Kander and Fred Ed can stop me now. Now no one will stay safe. What has happened to Kimberly? Will our fearless detectives get out of this alive? Where is Kevin? Where is Kevin? Will Mary Mitchell Campbell ever be a hashtag friend of the show? Tune in next time to Broadwasted Mystery Mad Libs. Oh my god, my brain is...
That was really so hard.
So we just backhanded complimented Kevin, like, dude, that was too long. But it was funny. You did it.
It was good, but oh god.
Oh you my god, my brain.
So well, you did it. We got through an episode of Broadwasted.
We did.
That's
we
it.
Did
it. You're done.
Woo!
So, really on that note, you can follow him at ChrisMizCarol. On Twitter and Instagram. You can follow us at Broadwasted. Go to our site, broadwasted.com, as well as, what else do we have?
Instagram, Facebook.
Subscribe to us on iTunes. Review us on iTunes. But as we end every episode with a sweet, sweet quote.
Oh, yeah.
And that's going to be...
I always forget.
Mega musicals work.
With an E.
With an E. Our dime, Cheetah Rivera once sang, soon I feel it, soon somehow, I will have him any minute now. I'd do anything from Kiss of the Spider-Woman.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
Well, good choice.
And as we end every episode, we raise our glasses.
Zoo-doo-wop-bop.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
You'll hear us next week when we have Fill in the Blank.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.